come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Paul didn't change his doctrine or the message of the gospel to appeal to different groups of people, but he did his best to find common ground with those who needed to hear truth and receive grace. His focus was always to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to help them grow in their faith. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Common Ground, a teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, it is time for our memory verse. Here we go. But to us there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created, and for whom we live. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6, NLT. We're gonna do it again. Here we go. But to us there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created, and for whom we live. What's next? And there is one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, let me hear it, all things were created, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, NLT. Okay, we're going to do it one more time. I'm going to hear it, right? Here we go. But for us there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created, and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. NLT, great job.
This morning, I was getting ready for this morning, and I was reading Tony Evans, and he said, whatever controls our minds controls our choices. Whatever controls our minds controls our choices, and how true that is. Whatever controls our minds, whatever we give our mind to, controls our choices. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father, that you would just, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us tonight, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power that you have poured out on us, Lord, that we would hear from you, that we would be so aware of your Holy Spirit, that we would be so aware of what you're doing, Lord. Father, we want to be people who love one another. It's the most important thing. They'll know we are Christians by the way that we love one another, not by the way that we keep rules or laws, but by the way that we love one another. Lord, let us be sensitive to your voice tonight, Lord. I pray for a special anointing, please, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, that I might hear from you and speak your words in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we enter into this chapter 8 and chapter 9, as we get into it, and we see that the very first thing is that we are now concerning things offered to idols. And so he's talking about idols and how you are not to eat the meat that comes from it, or can you eat the meat from it? You have freedom. These two chapters are dealing with our freedom more than anything else. My freedom and how I handle my freedom. My rights and how I handle my rights. Do I love my brethren, my sisters, more than I love my rights? And we're going to look into this. We're going to get into it and see what God has to say about it. It sounds a bit strange to us now concerning things offered to idols. When we get into whether or not we should eat meat that were offered to idols, it was for them in Corinth, the new converts, it was an accepted social practice to have meals in a temple or in some place associated with a temple, the kind of occasion, public or private, when people were likely to come together socially was the kind of occasion where there would be a sacrifice, and so that it would be appropriate. To have nothing to do with such gatherings was to cut yourself off from most social gatherings. So this was a big step for them. Now, not all of them felt that way. Some of the new believers went, you know what? These other gods, they are nothing. These gods mean nothing, so I can eat things that are offered to them. And you have that freedom to do that. And there were others who said, I worshiped this God. I believed in this God. And you know how sometimes you have a hard time letting go of things that you have learned in the past and you have to unlearn them? And so for them, they couldn't eat the meat. For them, it was sin because their conscience would not let them eat the meat. Because they know that there is one God and only one God, and that God is to be worshiped. And so for them, it was sin. So how do we handle this situation on whether or not it's okay to eat food that's been offered to idols? Well, the one thing that we have going on here, the problem was that most meat was sold in the market had been through a temple before it had gotten to the market. And so in a maybe it was the cheapest meat, maybe it was subsidized by the local temples, maybe it was the best cuts, who knows? In the private sacrifices, one-third of the burnt sacrifice went to the god, one-third was given to the priest, and one-third was given back to the worshiper so that he could go ahead and have his party, and he could have his party right there in the temple, right there where the sacrifice had taken place. And so they could all eat right there. We do have evidence of invitations. A gentleman who invites you to dine with him at the table of our Lord Serapis. Serapis was a god. He had his own temple. You are invited to come and celebrate there in the temple and eat the food that has been offered to this god who is no god at all, but it was offered to this god. In public sacrifices, one-third of the burnt off sacrifice went to the god, one-third was given to the priest, and one-third given to local magistrates to do with whatever they wanted to do with it. They could eat it, they could take it home, they could sell it in the marketplace. So all of that is going on here in Corinth. You remember that they lived in a culture that was very much like Athens. In Acts 17:16, it says they were wholly given over to idols. Wholly given over to idols. Corinth was a place of over 200,000 souls. It was a big city. There were a lot of sacrifices. There were a lot of things going on. And so Paul starts with a caution in verse 1. And he says, we know that we all have knowledge, but that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So Paul starts out and he says, knowledge puffs up, love edifies, so let love rule. Let love rule. Don't win the debate and lose your brother. Don't win the argument and lose your brother. I've heard it said, knowledge is proud that it has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that it knows no more. Knowledge is proud that it has learned so much, and wisdom is humble that it knows no more. By contrast, love has permanent effects. Love has permanent effects. The important thing is that the Lord knows those that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says that we are, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. We are known by God. You are known by God. Every area of you, every little corner of your life, every corner of your thought life, every corner of your home that you live in, he knows. So that thing that you were hiding is not hidden. It's not hidden from him. He knows you in a most intimate way. Allow him to work in your life and cause you to love above anything else. And what Paul has done in the first three verses is to give a very gentle rebuke to those who gave too high of a place to knowledge. The Christian lives for God. Love rather than knowledge should be the Christian's determining consideration. The Christian lives for God. We live only to serve a living God. That is our purpose. That's why we are here. And so verse 4, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that idols are nothing in the world. We know this. We understand this. And that there is no other God but one. For even if there was so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God. For us, there is one God, and we know it. One God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and through whom we live. We live through Christ. It is Christ who has given us this life that we have to live. And in verse 7, we're told to build our brothers up. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that there is one God and that there's no power in the other gods. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. They believed that it was a thing that was offered to idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So they know for them it is sin. Because they are convicted in their hearts that it's sin. It's not sin for you, he's saying, but that's okay. You don't have to allow someone else to direct you in a way that you should think. It's okay. They are idols, are not gods. We know that we don't worship them. We know that the meat that's offered to them has no connection with them. But if you have a friend who can't eat that meat because it was offered to an idol, then you don't eat that meat that was offered to an idol. Why? Because you prefer love. You prefer a loving one another over all of it. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we better or if we don't eat. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours... Beware somehow that the liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge, they know that you know God, and they see you eating in an idol's temple. Did anyone else look at that and go, in an idol's temple? What are you doing there first? Did anybody else notice that? Did anybody else say, what are we doing in that idol's temple? First and foremost. And then we're eating there. Will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols, even though they know in their own heart that it's wrong? Will they do it? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish from whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren, you are sinning against one another when you lead them astray, when you lead them to go in a direction that the Lord has not directed them in, that is not loving them, and that you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So put your brother's well-being above your own rights. Limit yourself to edify him. Christian freedom does not alleviate Christian responsibility. Christian freedom does not alleviate Christian responsibility. It's always easy for the strong Christian to not see any harm. And, oh, I'm not afraid of that. Oh, that, what's the big deal? Why are you? Oh, well, you're so weak. You would never say that, but you look at somebody and you think that they're weak because they don't believe the way that you believe in that particular issue. I know you've heard the story of Brother Harold before. Bill has talked about him numerous times, and I think I've told you this story before. That Brother Harold wanted to see Disney movies when Disney movies were for kids. Did you hear what I said? He wanted to see a Disney movie at the time when Disney movies were for kids. You realize that Disney movies are no longer for kids. I'm just saying. But he cared so much for his brethren. He told us how much he would like to see this Disney movie. And he said, however, what if someone saw me buying a ticket for a Disney movie, but they didn't know I was buying for the Disney movie. They thought I was buying for the R-rated one. And I caused them to stumble. He never saw a Disney movie because he cared more about the people than he did about whether or not he saw a movie. Can I do those sorts of things? Can I lay down my life, my rights, my desires so that someone else can be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord? No good purpose is served by asserting what we call our rights. Nothing good comes out of it. In chapter 9, we have My Rights by Paul the Apostle. And he goes on to say, they're not questions at all. Paul is still on subject. It's a pause for an illustration. This chapter 9 is an illustration of what he's trying to put across. And it is an evidence of living beyond our rights. Can we live beyond our rights? Will we live beyond our own rights? Will we give up our rights for something higher? There's a higher call than just demanding our rights. And he says, I have the right to eat. I have the right to drink. I have the right to a wife. I have a right to receive support. My defense to those who examine me is this in verse 3. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to a believing wife like Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? We have to keep working. There is a higher call than just demanding our rights. Whoever goes to war at his own expense, verse 7. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? So we have in here three diverse human activities. Paul shows us his right to be supported. All three of them are supported by their vocation, by their occupation. There's the soldier, There's the man who plants a vineyard, and there's the shepherd. So notice the differing status of those three that are in there. They all have a different status. A soldier is commonly paid wages for soldiering. The man who plants a vineyard, it indicates that he's the owner of it. He gets to eat from it. He gets his payment in the food. But the shepherd, more often than not, was a slave. But he was still paid for what he did. He still was made, provision was made for him. All were fed by their occupation. And so, do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. What's he talking about? He's talking about his right to receive payment for what he's doing. Is it oxen God is concerned about, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing that we should reap material things from you? Nothing wrong with it, if you want to give it to us. But I refuse to demand it, is what Paul is saying. I refuse to demand it. If others are partakers of this right over you, we are even more. Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but we endure all things. We endure all things. Paul's high standard, I've used none of these rights, willingly and selflessly preaching the gospel. Why? Because I am your slave. I am your slave. I am living for you. I live for Christ first, but I live to serve you. I will lay down my rights. The Greek word is spelled C-A-I-O, and it means I am your slave. My responsibility is to serve Jesus, to build my brother up. My responsibility is to not confuse someone else, not mislead someone else, and not stumble someone else. That is my responsibility. My responsibility is more important than my rights. But I have used none of these things, verse 15, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me to die, then that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I must preach the gospel. I must preach the gospel, Paul says. It is in me. I must preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? What's my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel, so that you can never say, I did it for the money. Paul never did anything for the money. And I see too many things happening today that are for the money. For what I can get out of it. Paul lived for others that they might know Christ, and he didn't want anything to get in the way of them knowing Christ. And if it meant that he had to work hard at another job so that he could preach the gospel, that's what he did. He had the right to be supported by them. But he did not demand that they pay him. Freely you have received, freely give. The passion of our lives, not to see how much we can get away with and still be a Christian, but to see how many we can take with us. We're going to be all things to all people, as we see in verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. A servant to all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. I get so depressed. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just so bummed out. I can't believe these things are happening to me. Go and serve someone else. And you will find how quickly that depression goes. You will find how quickly all of those things just melt away when your mind is off of me and on when your mind is off of me. You like that? When our minds are off of ourselves and onto something else, you know, oftentimes, now I'm not putting aside clinical depression, don't misunderstand me here, but many times our depression is just because we're thinking so much about what I don't have, what I'm not, what how I messed up. We're always, it's thinking about me, it's going inward. And we need to allow ourselves to just go, yep, those things happened and it was stupid and I hate that I did them. And yeah, it was a bummer that I didn't make it right, but I'm going to go serve someone else. I'm going to do something for someone else and not expect to be paid for it. I have some friends that expect to be paid for everything. There are people that do a 9-to-5 and they leave at 5 o'clock and they let it go. All of it lit. They let all of it go at 5 o'clock. I don't know. I can't do that because I'm 24/7. That's not because I'm a good person. Don't even think that for a second because I will, you all already have seen me at some of my worst times. God will carry us through those times if we will just serve one another and put someone else in front of us. We're so afraid of letting somebody in front of us on the freeway. Why? But they're in front of me. Yeah, and are you going to get there any slower because they're in front of you? What will you do with that second that you saved? For goodness sakes, what in the world will you do with that second, with those 3 minutes that you got because you got in front and you got to the red light first? I've never understood that one. Anyway, getting to the red light first, it just is so weird to me. Not to see how much we can get away with and still be a Christian, but to see how many we can take with us, all things to all people. How many can we rescue? How many can we bring to salvation? Paul says, I became all things to all people. When I was with the Jews, I was Jew. When I was with the under the law, I was under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who were without law, as without law. But notice what's in parentheses there, not being without law toward God. I didn't put aside the things of God to do this. I didn't sin so that I could be amongst the sinners. But that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do, why? For the gospel's sake. Not so everybody says, what a great person I am, but for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. With you. I want to be with you in that. When I think of this scripture about being all things to all men, the person that comes to my mind and was Pastor Allen. He had a way about him that fit into everybody's life. Now, was he a perfect man? Oh, no, honey. No. We had disagreements. And, you know, I'm the perfect woman, so we had disagreements. But he wasn't perfect, but he had a way of being a part of your life. When he was talking to you, you were the most important person right there. He would not be distracted by what was going on around because you were important to him. Everybody felt that they were important when they were speaking with Pastor Allen. And I want to be like that. I have friends that tell me I don't get away with it as much as I think I get away with it, that when someone's talking to me and I'm looking right at them and I am engrossed in the conversation, and all of a sudden I realize I'm not engrossed in the conversation. I have no idea what they just said. And who was, can you just say, who was that? Now, who was that one? One of my friends says that when she's talking to me, all of a sudden she will say, "Where did you just go?" Because I will just leave. My mind goes off in another place. But we need to bring all thoughts captive for someone else. Not so I look good, but for someone else. Living our lives for someone else. For the gospel's sake. And here's the part of the scripture. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now he's telling them, they're very familiar with races. They're very familiar with these kinds of races. And so he's talking to them about something that's familiar that they can relate to. So many times we talk about things that are and the person is left to be, and I don't know what all those words mean. So can you start all over again? But he spoke in things that they could understand. And everyone who competes for the prize, verse 25, is temperate in all things. It means that he puts aside everything else so that he can win the prize. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, not as if I don't know what's at the end of it. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as shadow boxing, but I discipline my body. I discipline my body. Paul had made up his mind, run with a goal in mind. Run like you want to win. Run like you want to win. Stay in the race. Please, ladies, stay in the race. Do not give up. Life is not a sprint. It is sometimes a relay race. And sometimes it's just what it was, the 440. It's going around again and again and again, and you're seeing the same scenery again and again. I remember when I was young and I ran the 440, and oh man, I started out so good. I was fast. Oh, I was impressed with myself. I was so fast. And I was running. And I went through that lap and through that lap and through that lap, and I can do this. I'm going to go to the end. Until it was almost the end. And then I barely made it past the finish line. But I made it to the finish line. I may have slowed down at the end, but I made it to the finish line. We may slow down at the end, but we are going to make it to the finish line. I know you ladies. You are not ladies who give up. You are not ladies who give in. You are not ladies who are fooled by the tricks of the enemy. You know the truth, and that truth has made you free. And you are walking in truth, and you're not willing to give it up. We are going to win this race. How do we do it? How do we do it? There's only one winner. Oh, no, not in God's kingdom. We're all individuals. We're all number one. We're all the winner. How does that work? I don't understand it. But that's what God's word says. And so what does he say? Well, running the race. And so many times when we're on this portion of scripture, we speak about the movie Chariots of Fire. And How many of you know nothing about Chariots of Fire? Well, a little more than this morning. One raised their hand. I know nothing. Chariots of Fire being that great movie of long ago for the older people like me. It was long ago, and it was so good. And we always use that illustration of the Eric Little and how he persevered and he went through. But you know what stands out to me in this movie was a guy named Abrams. And Abrams said one day, "I won't run if I can't win." And what was spoken back to him is, if you don't run, you can't win. You can't win if you don't run. So run. We can't win if we don't run. And so we buffet our bodies. It comes down to the word discipline. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's discipline. I discipline my body. I train myself. I make this body do what it's supposed to do, except last week. It didn't do what it was supposed to do, but you know what it did do? It did exactly what God designed it to do. And now I'm standing before you. Because in that time, I got to tell you, I always ask God in those times of pain, I don't want to waste the pain, Lord. What am I supposed to be learning right now? Could we just learn it quickly? God is faithful, and he shows us those things, and he directs our steps. So the Christian must avoid not only definite sin, but anything that hinders his complete effectiveness. Complete effectiveness. Notice that the athlete denies himself many lawful pleasures. I have a friend, we were talking, and she said, we decided since the guys were gone that we could eat whatever we wanted to eat because the guys are gone. And then we talked about eating ice cream. And then we decided, yeah, the guys are gone, and yeah, we could eat ice cream. But you know what? God told me I can't have ice cream, so it doesn't matter where the guys are at. I still can't have ice cream. And that's okay. You can have ice cream. That's okay. If God hasn't told you you can't have ice cream, you go ahead and have my ice cream. Enjoy it. Really enjoy it. Because I really miss it. But really enjoy it. Because you're free to do that. And I'm free to say no to it. Because God told me to say no to it. We have that freedom. And we don't want to stumble someone else, so don't eat the ice cream in front of me. So Paul is not like a runner who doesn't know where the finish line is. He's not a boxer that's shadow boxing. Paul's Christianity is purposeful. He puts everything into direct and forceful Christian endeavor. He refuses to be bound by bodily desires. I refuse to be bound by bodily desires. I will discipline this body. I will discipline this mind to follow after Christ. I will not give in to the ways of the enemy. I will not give in to my own selfish desires. I want to see you prosper. And if I'm only thinking about me and I'm only getting what I think I need, then I'm not thinking about you. And so I get to serve you. He disciplines his flesh. He brings it under submission. Bringing into submission is bring into slavery. And although that word today is like not politically correct to talk about slavery. I am happy to be a slave of the living God. I am happy to live for the living God. I want to be a slave, but what Paul is talking about is he is a slave for you. I want to be a slave for you, for Christ's sake, that all would be drawn to Christ because they see something in me that others want or that they want. Paul leaves no doubt as to the vigor with which he subdues the flesh. Why? To avoid being disqualified. To avoid being disqualified. The Greek word here is adokimos, A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S, and it means which has not stood the test. Which has not withstood the test. Paul's fear was not that he might lose his salvation, but that he might lose his crown through failing to satisfy the Lord. Do you realize that when you participate in things, say, for instance, you're supporting someone who goes to another country, and you say, oh, I really feel like I should go to another country. I just can't go to another country. I don't really want to go to another country, and I don't feel like God's called me to another country, but I can help somebody else go to another country. And that someone else goes to another country or goes to another division in the housing area or in the stores across the street, and they bring someone to Christ. I have helped support them. I get the crown, and they get the crown. We all get to participate in that. The reward is the same for me for being a sender as it is for the one who is doing the actual work. We all get those crowns that we get to throw before him when that day comes, that we throw at his feet. So I discipline the body. I run with certainty. I fight with confidence. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. So let's run to win. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, your love for us, your grace that you so abundantly pour out on us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and with your loving kindness, you are drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will never leave us alone. Lord, that you encircle round about us. Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. You have gone before us and behind us and on the sides of us, Lord. You have encircled us. Many times you have carried us as you carry that lamb over your shoulders. And you've walked us through those times when we've been broken and hurting and empty and wanting. But we will finish the race because you give us the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. And so, Father, as we get into small groups, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified tonight in these small groups, that you would be lifted up, Lord, that you would draw all men to you and all women to you as well. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness toward us, your love for us. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.